As we continue our study in Mark 4, verses 35 through verse 41, we're reminded who creates the storms. We saw in our last study that God creates the storms. He creates the storms of life by His power, by His purpose, and He gives you His peace through these storms. God creates the storms, and not only creates the storms of life, but He controls the storms. How comforting it is to know that our God not only creates the storms, but He also controls the storms of life. How does God control the storms of life? First of all, we see in our text that He controls the storms by His words. In verse 35 of Mark, it says, "On the same day when evening had come, He said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.'" One translation says, "Let us pass over unto the other side." Let us cross over to the other side. What hope that should have sparked in the hearts of the disciples. They had His promise that they were merely passing over. They were merely crossing over. Yet they did not believe Him. They had His promise. But as is often the case, His promise did not have them. His promise did not have them. We have God's promise often, but His promise doesn't have us. How often is that true in your life and mine? We have His word in the matter, but still we worry and fear and doubt. That was the problem of the Jews in the wilderness. They continually doubted God's word. They worried and they were fearful. And how tragic it is. When will we ever learn that the storms and the trials of life can never pass the boundaries of His word? He will do what He has promised, and we need never fear that His word will fail. But so often, we doubt. Matthew 24, verse 35 tells us, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." What a promise. God's word will never pass away. What He has promised will come to pass. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6. Do not add to His words. Every word of God is pure. That word pure means tested, refined. Every word of God is pure. It's tested. It's refined. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and be found a liar. Do not add to His words, and do not take away from His words. If He has promised anything, then that is just what He will do. What He has promised, He will do. Romans 4, verse 21 tells us, "And being fully convinced that what He had promised, He was also able to perform." And that text there is speaking of Abraham and Sarah, with Sarah's womb being dead. And yet they believed the promise of God. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what He had promised, He was also able to perform. Our God is able to do what He said He would do. We must trust in the Lord. God controls the storms of life by His words. He also controls the storms of life by his works. Look at Mark 4 once again. Christ arose and he rebuked the wind. What the Lord creates, he controls. What the Lord creates, he controls. Whatever God puts into motion, he can perfectly control. Even as the storm will never pass the boundary of his word, it will also never pass the boundary of his power. Of his power. Not only does he control the storms by his words, but he controls the storms by his works. That which looks hopeless to you and I is mere child's play to the Lord. Do you not know that that is the lesson that Job had to learn? Job 42, beginning at the first verse. That is the lesson that Job had to learn. Then Job answered the Lord and said, then realize this is chapter 42. This is at the end. Job has learned the lessons of life. And the last chapter of Job says this, Job 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything. Do you know that? Do you know that? And I'm sure many of you will say, yes, yes, I do know that. But do you believe that? See, it's one thing to know something and it's another thing to believe it. I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. God controls the storms. God creates the storms and God controls the storms of life. I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered, notice what Job did, I have uttered what I did not understand. How often do we do that? We utter what we do not understand. We complain against the Lord. We doubt the Lord. We worry. We're fearful. I uttered what I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. See? And what does Job do? Therefore I abhor myself, I despise myself, and repent in dust and ashes. That which looks hopeless to you and me is mere child's play to the Lord. Whatever you face in life, the storms of life, God controls. He controls by his words. He controls by his works. God creates the storm. God controls the storm. And we must understand that he controls the storm by his will. Verse 35 of Mark 4 says this. He said unto them. He said unto them. It was the Lord's idea to get into the ship and to sail into the storm. It was the Lord's will. It was the Lord's sovereign will. It was the Lord's idea to get into the ship. He said unto them. He said unto them. In Matthew 8:18, in a parallel verse, we're told that he gave commandment. He said unto them. Often when we sail into a storm, our first thought is that we must be out of the Lord's will. Certainly, this can't be the Lord's will. Well, I found out that it's always good to check up. To check up to see. These men found themselves in a storm because they were in God's will. Many times we think we're out of God's will because of the storms of life, when in actuality He created the storm, He controls the storm by His words, by His works, by His will. His purpose is being carried out in the storms. His power is being shown in the storms of life. We must remember, He issued the command by His will. He said to them, He said unto them. Maybe today you're thinking you're out of God's will because of the storms, and you're right in the middle of God's will. He sent them there, and He will see them through. And He will send you certain places, and He will see you through. Just as His word and His work set boundaries so that the storms of life cannot violate, neither can they pass the boundary of His will for our lives. If He is sovereign, which He is, the Bible teaches us that He is. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Then we must learn the truth that everything in life is under His control. What kind of God do you have in your mind? God is in control. He controls the storms. He determines the duration. He determines the severity, and He determines the results. We must learn to place all in God's hands and trust Him to control the storms. To see this truth in action, as I said, look at Job. God controlled exactly what happened to Job, how long it lasted, and when it ended. That was what Job learned. He learned that God is in control. And some people have a hard time with this truth. And every one of us at some time or another will have a hard time with this truth. But we should be glad that the storm is under His control. If it is just running its own course, then it's out of control and there's no telling what'll happen. But yet, God is in perfect control. He controls the storms by His words. He controls the storms by His works. He controls the storms by His will. And not only does He create the storms, not only does He control the storms, but brothers and sisters, the good news is that He calms the storms. He calms the storms. He calms the storms first with rebuke. The disciples had tried rowing, they tried worrying, they tried crying, but nothing they did had any effect until they called on Jesus. And when they did, three simple words were heard. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. The Lord rebukes the storm. Peace, be still. Solve the problem instantly. Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Oh, hallelujah. When the storms of life, when the Lord speaks to them, it says, peace, be still. And in that case, the problem was solved instantly. You must remember today, as your boat is battered and threatened by the storms of life that howl around you, that you serve a God who's able to speak peace to your storm also. The hour will come when He will rebuke the storms in your life. And it too will go away. Whatever that situation is, whatever that circumstance is, sooner or later, He will speak to that storm and say, peace, be still. That's your God. That's your Father. That's who controls your life. Maybe you just need to do what they did. They stopped trying and they gave it to Him. After all, Is that not what the Lord tells us to do? In Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's what the disciples did. They went to him. They went to him while he was sleeping in the back of the boat. Is that your condition today? Then give it to the Lord. Trust the Lord. Stop the doubting. Stop the worrying. Stop being fearful. And thank him. And praise him. And trust him in the situation that you're in. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. See, that's the problem that the Jews, once again, had in the wilderness. They didn't think God cared for them. Their argument to Moses was, did you bring us out here to die? You bring us out here in the wilderness to die? We had it better in Egypt, even though we were slaves, being whipped and being tortured and beaten and broken down and everything. Now you're taking us out here to die out in the desert, to die in the wilderness. And all the Lord was doing was causing them to trust him, to rely upon him, to believe his word. And they didn't go into the promised land because they failed to believe the Lord. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for you. And right before that, the previous verse there, in the 1 Peter 5, in verse 6, it says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Peter's reminding him, cast the mighty hand of God. He calms the storms. He has the power to calm the storms. The Lord rebukes the storm. Peace be still. And notice the response of the storm. The wind ceased. The wind ceased. Ah, the wind ceased, the howling of the wind, of the storms of life. When the storm passes, the peace that passes all understanding. The wind ceased. Would you not want to know that today? The wind ceased. This little phrase describes a situation where one second there is a terrifying storm, and the next second there is absolute calm. Maybe you are going through the most terrifying storm ever in your life. The good news is, in the next second, there can be absolute calm. In the text, we see instantly the storm was gone. The Sea of Galilee became absolutely calm and peaceful. Again, this is what he can do in your life. He can speak the word and your storm will cease. However, the Lord will often allow the storm to continue in our lives until it has accomplished its purpose. But in the midst of that, he'll speak peace to his child. Realize this today, what 2 Corinthians 12 says, verses 7 through 10. And as I said, here's Paul, he's right in the middle of the will of God. And he says in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. See, he wanted the storm to end, man. That was in his life. 3 times I'm pleading with the Lord. And the Lord says, nah, Paul. No. You put your name in there. And he said to whoever is listening right now, my grace is sufficient for you. Notice, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I'll rather boast in my infirmities, notice, for this reason, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, the power of Christ had to rest upon that situation. The storm that was in the lives of the disciples only came to an end by the power of Christ. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Guess what the disciples learned that day? Therefore, they take pleasure. Would they take pleasure in the storms of life? For when we're weak, then in reality we're strong. Because then the power of Christ will rest upon us. God may not always change your circumstances, but if you yield them, He will change you in your circumstances. And if you ask me, Him changing me is worth a whole lot more than Him changing my situation or my circumstance. Who calms the storms? With a rebuke, with a response. And notice the relief that came to the disciples. The relief that came to them. Verse 41 of Mark 4. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? When they see what takes place in their lives, when the Lord speaks to the storm, they're filled with awe and amazement. They are thrilled that they're no longer in danger from the storm. They're relieved that the threat is gone. And there is similar relief when the Lord moves in our storms. When He calms the storms, when He calms the heart of His child, there is a sense of relief that the worst is over. And we're left in awe at the power and the majesty of the Lord. As I said, so that the power of Christ would rest upon him and upon us, and we're left in awe and amazement. Perhaps that's one reason He allows us to weather the difficult storms of life. He wants us to come to the place where we learn firsthand that God is able to do anything, and that He's worthy of our praise and our worship and our trust. It's one thing to hear about it from others, about God and His attributes. It's one thing to hear about it from others, but it's quite another thing altogether when we experience Him and His power for ourselves. We must learn the lesson of the storms. They exist to teach us dependence upon God. When we come to the place where we stand in awe of His power and who He is, His person, His plan, when we stand in awe and amazement, the storms will cease to frighten us. We'll be so overcome with who He is that nothing else in life will faze us, whether it be disease, discouragement, difficulty, or death. It will seem as nothing when it is compared with our God. Those who have a big God have little problems. Those who have a mighty God, they weather weak storms. When you have a mighty God, the storms of life become weak. The great windstorms, the waves that beat, become much weaker when you trust and believe in the God of the Bible. May the Lord cause you today to see Him in His glory and His majesty and in His many attributes.